SF Files, the ultimate 49ers podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
All right, it is time for our big interview. We bring in the host of Mornings with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. It is our good friend Chad Doing. You find him on Twitter at Chad Doing Radio. Chad, thanks for joining us here as we roll through the preseason and we talk about the 49ers. Obviously, they get the win over the Broncos in week two, but let's start at the bigger picture. Is Blaine Gabbert really the answer, or do you think Colin Kaepernick's going to show something over the course of the final two preseason games?
Well, that's a great question, and that's what everyone wants to know, Nate. I don't think either quarterback is the answer. I think Blaine Gabbert is the leader in the clubhouse right now in the so-called quarterback competition, but I think what's reality or what's really going on here is that the 49ers are in a full rebuild mode. They know that. They haven't made an effort to really draft a quarterback since they got Kaepernick a few years ago. And I think at the end of the day, let's remember that Colin Kaepernick visited Denver twice, not once, but twice, as they tried to trade him and facilitate a deal. But in the end of the day, the 49ers did not want to pay that any portion of that salary that he is owed. I think what's going to end up happening is that they're probably going to put him in bubble wrap, and he won't play. And I think you're going to see Blaine Gabbert with being the starter, with possibly Christian Ponder or Jeff Driscoll, the rookie, backing him up. I just can't imagine, with that contract and the way it's set up for Kaepernick, that they're going to want to risk putting him on the field for another injury. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Blaine Gabbert, and I will be shocked if Colin Kaepernick plays a regular season down for the 49ers.
Chad, I know that it's probably hard, and we probably don't even have enough time in this podcast to get to it, but how did we get to this point with the Niners?
I think what happened is that it started with the fallout between Jim Harbaugh and Trent Baalke and the 49ers front office and ownership with Jed York. And I think that's where it started. They've tried to distance themselves from all things Harbaugh, and I think that's where the problem came in. And, you know, when Jim Harbaugh drafted Colin Kaepernick, they were very close, and Harbaugh took him under his wing to get him in a position to where they could win, and they had some great success. So I think the problem is now is that I think Kaepernick wants to be out. He wants to get elsewhere, and the 49ers want to move on from him. So when the 49ers are talking about a true quarterback competition, I just don't see how that's possible. And I do not believe that Trent Baalke does not have influence when it comes to the quarterback choice. So I think in the end, I think the 49ers are going to move on from Colin Kaepernick, and I think they probably regret now not eating some of that salary so that he could be in Denver with the Broncos.
Do you think they wind up sticking with him, Chad, through the season, and this is a 2017 spring move, or do you think something could happen within the season itself?
Well, that's a great question, too. I think what will happen is that he'll be with the team until probably spring of 2017, unless, you know, a team suffers a major injury at the quarterback position at the beginning of the year or at the end of preseason where they need a quarterback desperately, and they might be willing to make a move to bring in Colin Kaepernick. But if that doesn't happen, don't expect him. I would be surprised if he played throughout the season. So maybe look for him to be placed on the sideline, inactive, so that they can make a move sometime in spring.
What do you say to the folks that look at the Niners and say, but wait a minute, Colin Kaepernick looks like a guy that is just perfectly tailored to Chip Kelly? We're all familiar with what he did at Oregon and then obviously what he tried to do and with some success in Philadelphia. What do you say to the folks that say, this doesn't make any sense here? You've got this big guy, he's mobile, but he's not actually the one who's starting.
That's a great point. We've all heard that, right? Well, you know, Colin Kaepernick and Chip Kelly would be a marriage made in heaven. I can tell you this much, when I covered Chip Kelly up at Oregon when he was with the Ducks, he had Jeremiah Masoli who took him to a Rose Bowl. He was inaccurate with the football and didn't protect it. He moved on to Darren Thomas. Darren Thomas was not an accurate passer. He was willing to move on and found his perfect quarterback in Marcus Mariota. There's no doubt that Colin Kaepernick's physical abilities with his, you know, the way he can run and the way he can really tear up defenses with his legs, I think that's a perfect match. But in reality, with this passing game and this passing attack, you have to be accurate with the football. You have to put it in the right spots. And, you know, Colin Kaepernick, with all of his abilities, not an accurate passer. And at the end of the day, if you don't have good ball security and you're not accurate with the football, Chip Kelly is going to move on from you until he finds the guy that he wants. So look for this. I mean, this is a silver lining for the quarterback position, right? You have a bad year, a full rebuild mode, and then you can draft Deshaun Watson or whoever else at the top of the draft next year that you want.
Is that where, and we're talking with Chad Dewing, Chad, is that where some of the Niners fans' heads are at right now? Are they already looking at next year?
Yes, and they, I think they're a great fan base, the 49er faithful, but they're realists. And I think, hey, look, you know this in the NFL. When you, right now, when you look at your quarterback depth chart and you're a couple of weeks away from the season and it reads Blaine Gabbert as the leader with Colin Kaepernick and Jeff Driscoll, a sixth-round pick, you know that your season is going to be horrible. Or Christian Ponder, for crying out loud. You can't win in this league without at least average quarterback play. And right now, all those guys, in my mind, below average.
All right, so let's look around at somewhere other than the quarterback position. Where are the bright spots? Is it Carlos Hyde?
He is a bright spot. I think the guy's a beast. And Chip Kelly, his first couple of years in Philadelphia, they ran the football. And I think that's the most important thing to remember about Chip, Nate, is that he is a power-running coach first. And when they establish the run, they can really cause some problems. Carlos Hyde, if healthy, I think can be a beast. I think he's got 1,500-yard potential. And I think he's going to tear it up this year. And he's talked about this after reviewing tape of Chip's time in Philly. He loves the zone blocking scheme. He loves the space he's going to be able to get into. And I think with that, I think he's going to be fine. The question is, if the quarterback plays below average and teams are stacking the box, how will he do? I still think he's going to have a big year. And if he remains healthy, I think he's going to be one of the surprises this season. Outside of running back, I think you look at linebacker, where they've got a lot of players, especially Navarro Bowman, who they gave a new contract to, invested in the future for Navarro. He's a great player. Their secondary play, particularly at safety with Antoine Bethea and Eric Reed, is definitely above average. And so far, Jimmy Ward and Tremaine Brock, their young corners, have played well. So they've got some pieces on defense. They've got some young defensive tackles out of Oregon who I think could emerge. So defensively, they've got some nice pieces. Receivers poor, quarterback play is poor. I think Carlos Hyde's going to have a big year, and they've made some upgrades with the offensive line. So, Navarro Bowman, Carlos Hyde, probably your brightest spots with Eric Reed at safety.
Looking at the wide receiver position, you know, the name is there with Torrey Smith, but at least looking from afar, so you tell me what you've seen at practice, I feel like Bruce Ellington is a guy that could wind up being a bit of a star for them.
I agree. Bruce Ellington's a special player. He's got great speed, and he could be – you can put him in many different spots. Special teams, you can put him in the slot. He can line up outside. He's one of those guys they're waiting for to emerge and take that next step, and they really need him too, because I love Torrey Smith, great veteran. He's had some great years, was a great player with the Ravens. But he's not – I don't think he's a true number one. So I think the big problem there is that, you know, after Torrey Smith, you got question marks. So Bruce Ellington will need to emerge, but after that, they just don't have a really good receiving core, and they're going to struggle at that position. So I would look for Bruce Ellington to emerge and play well in the offense, and Torrey Smith will be steady, but they lack playmakers and stars at that position.
Chad, stepping away from the football field for just a minute, what's the vibe that you hear, the callers on your show, the guests, the fans you run into when it comes to what's going on the other side of the bay and the potential of the Raiders moving?
frustration, especially now. They've went through a long drought since they last went to the Super Bowl in 2002. The team's been horrible, and they've probably been one of the worst-run franchises in all of football. But over the last few years, since Reggie McKenzie came in, they've built a steady foundation of great young talent, and they've made good decisions in free agency. So now that the team's on the verge of breaking through and playing well, now you're looking at another move. I mean, it's the last thing that the franchise needs, but there's problems with the city trying to find money to come up with a brand-new stadium, and you've got the A's competing for the same type of thing. So the fan base is frustrated. And, you know, when they went to L.A. The first time, they missed out on an entire generation of Raider fans who probably ended up becoming 49er fans because they weren't there. So Raider fans, you know, nationwide, one of the strongest, rabid fan bases. They support their team. A move would be devastating for the football fans in Oakland with a very rich tradition, as you know.
He's the host of mornings, Chad, Joe, and Lowe, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. You find him on Twitter, at Chad Dewing Radio, covering the 49ers as well as the entire Bay Area, but talking with us here on the podcast about where the Niners sit right now. Chad, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Anytime, Nate.
We go around the league coming up next with the coach. It's Brian Billick. Stick around.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the league. And as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short. But it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback, let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits in the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good. Because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, and people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how He feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, But the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer, so he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte, and how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult. And that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand, and if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us. And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good, because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat? And well, that division's on the hot seat, because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville, where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better, and obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on a hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in Overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double-check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think, it, no doubt, Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week three of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a drop-back passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week, and it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.